All right, Canes. What? Oh, I'm way too high right now. Is that better?
Better.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what. I guess Hayes Permar likes a high chair.
Likes to lord over the proceedings.
That's tracks. So, tonight.
Tonight's the night, Rod Stewart.
We're going to wrap this up tonight, right? Canes are going to beat the Bruins in Boston tonight. They know what they have to do. Like, this is not a matter of, oh, what? Because we got a guy who called in yesterday who was annoyed that we were talking about chicken tenders thanks to Sam Howell, right? And I think Randy called you and he was kind of like, hey, man. You know, we're an embarrassment to Boston sports radio right now. They're going to make fun of us as though we just didn't make fun of Boston sports talk earlier in the week because they wasted a segment on us. Like talking about chicken tenders instead of line changes.
Well, that's our normal meetings are. Okay, guys, today's show, how are we going to make Boston radio proud?
Proud, yeah. How are we going to make Boston radio proud of us? No, that's not what we do. No, so I don't know how complex we can make this. I know, Giglio, yesterday you referred to caveman hockey analysis. Mm-hmm. It ain't complicated. The series has not been complicated.
It hasn't been.
There's no level of lineup chess games that need to be played with Rod Brind'Amour and the Boston Bruins. It really comes down to a matter of execution. Stay out of the damn box. Take advantage of the power play. It really comes down to special teams in this series. Carolina's better than Boston, unless they make it easy for Boston or put Boston in a position where they can take advantage of the special teams.
And here's the key, though, I think, for the Canes tonight, because they're not going to be able to get Jordan Staal on the perfection line when they want to.
Yes.
Right? There'll be times where they are matched up, but for the most part, Bruce Cassidy is going to have the ability to avoid some of that lineup matchups that we saw. And Boston took advantage of that in games 3 and 4. Do you know which group needs to step up tonight? It's Sebastian Aho, Seth Jarvis, who's, you know, scoring goals, fine. Andrei Svechnikov. That line is the one, when it's matched up with Bergeron and Marchand and Pasternak, they need to step up their two-way game. Because more often than not, I'm guessing that's what the matchup the Canes are going to see tonight.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Because Rod has no control over it tonight.
And that gets back to how we started this conversation. There's only so much that can be within the control of what Rod Brind'Amour can do or adjust or whatever. Again, I don't think this Boston matchup in any way, shape, or form is about the X's and O's of hockey. It's not some level of chess match between Rod Brind'Amour and Cassidy. This really comes down to, as we've joked about, Carolina's been a good Corsi team all season. They're Corsi darlings, they're analytics darlings. But in the OG, we don't care about Corsi sometimes. We care about the lowism, and that is your best player has to be your best player. Your best players have to be your best players.
And that's Svechnikov and Aho, typically for the Canes.
Yes, who are no-shows in Game 3 and 4 on the road.
Well, they need to be defensive shows. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think that's where Boston had the advantage in Games 3 and 4, but also, to your point, in the composure, Game 4 especially. You take the lesson that you learned from Game 5, and you were dominant in Game 5. Like, this was not a, oh, man, I hope we get a call, or oh, man, I hope Taylor Hall's blade breaks while he's trying to take a shot. No, it was a dominating effort. It was putting Boston in their place. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of confidence and mindset they have to have on the road tonight, in theory, just as we talked about how they should be able to rebound, in theory, they should be able to carry over the effort from Game 5 to Game 6 tonight.
Rod Brind'Amour, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, was asked about line changes or not changing lines when Patrice Bergeron is on the ice.
No, he can't. I mean, you know, the whistle goes, I got to throw my guys out. He's going to throw his. I mean, I'm not a big fan of chasing it around. Because it gets your guys out of rhythm. So I got to make sure my guys get there 18, 19 minutes, the top guys. You know, there's a little, you got to make sure your bench is flowing. And obviously, I'd love to throw Jordan Staal against Bergeron every time if I could, but it's not going to work. So Seabass loves the challenge. And that's the part of it that he has to do. I mean, you're going up against one of the best. Like, that's okay. Cards are on the table. Go play.
That's Rod Brind'Amour, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, on tonight's matchup with the Boston Bruins.
Sebastian Aho.
Yes. Seabass being Sebastian Aho. I do think that the Carolina Hurricanes are going to wrap this thing up tonight. If it does go seven and they come back on Saturday, I'm still confident the Carolina Hurricanes can win the series because, again, we've seen what they are at home. As Sarah Sivian jokingly wrote about on The Athletic today, she covers the Carolina Hurricanes for The Athletic. She's like, well, try to make TD Garden as much the PNC Arena as you can. Put a bunch of parking cones all over the city to make it feel like the PNC Arena parking lot. Get some people to tailgate, all that kind of stuff. Get Wade Minter to do a special private PA call for you. You know, whatever you have to do to make it seem like a home environment. Because, again, we've seen the difference between the teams in this series road and away, or road and at home. But my thing is, you can sit here and console yourself and saying, well, you know, if they lose tonight, they come back home for game seven and they should wrap it up because, hey, they've been a different team at home. Cool, I get that for this series, but that's not what this playoff was about. This playoff run wasn't just about slaying some sort of demon against the Boston Bruins. No, the point was to go far in this Stanley Cup playoff series. This is not just about getting past Boston to prove some sort of point.
No, it's
this,
not.
This is about going, to, in my mind, to the Eastern Conference Finals. But if that's the attitude where, oh, we'll just do these things at home, that ain't going to work out for you. I got news for you. That's not how you go about this.
I know you've been warning me against paying too much attention to these other series.
But
you know I can't help myself.
Yeah.
So last night, Pittsburgh Rangers.
That was a wild game, by
what
the way.
What a freaking hockey game.
What, three goals in a row in a short period of time
that
for the Rangers?
Was nuts. The Rangers stay alive. But yeah. Can we get our Brock McGinn narrative straight now? Like, can we all get on board on this? I feel like we need Luke, we need Sarah, we need Adam, and we need to just all agree on what our Brock McGinn narratives are going to be. And then, of course, last night, again, my pick for the Stanley Cup, the Florida Panthers, down 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it again. Like, it's, you're better off not having a lead on the Florida Panthers at this point.
But the thing is, the Carolina Hurricanes have been in that same position as well.
Not
to the level 25 of Florida.
Times.
I understand not to the level of Florida, but we've seen this Carolina Hurricanes team throughout the regular season find itself in a jam.
Yes.
But in the third period, the dam breaks over
because
of the way they play. They play physical. They play fast. I'm not trying to go Larry Fedora here, but ultimately, the way that they play and the high danger chances that they create, they're confident that eventually it's going to break their way. Florida Panthers are just doing it at a different level. Just saying the Canes are capable of doing it themselves. It's time to talk to Mike Maniscalco, play-by-play, Bally Sports, Carolina Hurricanes, ahead of Game 6 between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins. Mike! How are you?
I'm well, Joe. Thank you. As well as I can be.
Yeah, well, you know, you had to go back to Boston. It is what it is.
Yep.
Are they wrapping this up tonight?
I'd like to think so. I can't give you a definitive answer, you know. That's why they play the games, insert 45 other cliches I could tell you.
Stop it, Mr. Cliche.
But no, it honestly comes down to how the game is officiated. And by that, please don't anybody think that the NHL is doing some John Swofford conspiracy theory that lots of people like to have that, you know, everybody's out to get everybody. I'd like to thank the motorcycle for going by right now, too. With that said, if there are a lot of power plays in this game, that will favor the Boston Bruins because that is how the Boston Bruins have scored goals in this series. So I'll probably know after the first period, have a better handle on it, but if this game is played at 5-on-5, the Hurricanes should wrap this thing up tonight.
Mike Maniscalco joining us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. That's Jovius. I'm Joe Giglio. I heard Rod Brendamore talking about Seabass and Sebastian Aho and the challenge ahead of him tonight. Mike, how do you think Sebastian will handle being potentially matched up with Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron?
I think he'll be fine, honestly, because this is his DNA. Earlier this year, when the Canes went out to Western Canada, it was Aho who went to Rod Brendamore and said, I want Connor McDavid in Edmonton because I want put me up against the Elias Lindholm, Johnny Gaudreau line. He wants those matchups. And that's the thing right now where Aho has grown. Now, it's tough here in this building, but, you know, 5-on-5 is not where Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak have done their damage. So I think he'll be fine. Again, if it's kept 5-on-5, he'll be fine. And if anything, you know, he's had some okay games through the first five, but he hasn't had a big game yet. So I kind of expect Sebastian Aho to put his best game of the series on the ice here tonight against Boston.
Mike Maniscalco, play-by-play Bally Sports, joining us here on the OG. Canes and Bruins game six tonight. You can catch that game here on 99.9 The Fan. Storm Watch will come your way at 6 o'clock, immediately followed by the aftermath following the game. Okay, so we can sit here and say, oh, just stay out of the penalty box. Don't do anything dumb, right? But there is a balance to this. So have the Canes, and kind of feeling out this process in the playoffs, do you think they kind of understand, you know, based on what we saw in game five, that you can still play aggressive while also not doing the quote-unquote dumb things?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said game five, Joe, because just take a look at how they defended in game five. Tony D'Angelo said it after the game. They stayed above the puck. They didn't let Boston get behind them. And they didn't get lazy with their feet in turn. And that's when you make those stick infractions, hooks. You get your stick high. You're going to get a slashing penalty because you're reaching to try to get back in the play. What the Canes did in game five was a masterclass of how to defend against that Boston team, or against any team, honestly, where you stay in front of them. You don't let anybody get around you. You don't give a ton of free ice. You take away time and space. So, yes, I would give you an emphatic, they've learned how to not take those penalties. Again, it's hard to play that way, and it's hard to play that way for 60 minutes, but that's what the Canes have to do if they want to close out the series.
Mike Maniscalco joining us here on the OG Game 6 tonight. You can listen to Mike's call, Bally Sports. Mike, I don't want to distract you from these other series for a second here, but if I could, I was watching the Penguins last night. Can we go down this path?
Sure.
Are you okay
sure.
with this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I just want to make sure we get the Brock McGinn narrative correct by the time we see him.
Okay.
Okay.
So did he leave for more money? Did he just get a better deal?
I mean, you take a look at the deal that Brock McGinn got.
It was just too hard to turn down.
I think you look at the term. It was more than anything. I don't necessarily say it was money. I think it was more the years that – remember, NHL contracts are guaranteed. And, you know, it would be one thing if Brock McGinn left to go to, say, the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
Then you can go, all right, that's just a money deal. But he went to go to a very good hockey team, and he got a very good deal. So I never had any fault with Brock McGinn taking the contract that was offered to him by the Pittsburgh Penguins, and nobody should have.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was distracted last night. I was watching that game. It was an amazing game. But you have to understand, I kind of think like an NC State person, and I start thinking like, oh, how is this going to go? Who could be the villain? Who could be the Anton Gill?
No, Brock McGinn, let me just cut that one right there. Brock McGinn is not the villain in that series. If anything, you know, he's still – I can take a look at how he plays. He's the guy that the Canes would like to have. The fans love him. You know, sometimes it just, you know, it just doesn't work out. You know, the money, the term, whatever it would be. That's the difference, and I hate to do this, Joe, but as you referenced the NC State side of it, but that's the difference between college and pro. Pro, a lot of times the decisions are economic, not out of the heart or not out of, you know, some commissioner who is willing things to happen behind the scenes.
You've said that twice now. You're on to it, Mike. I know you've been in this area for
the
requisite amount of time now.
Oh, it was like Sarah Sivan the other day from The Athletic. She actually posted the Boston Bruins record with a particular official on the ice. I was like, oh,
you're here.
Sivan's official in North Carolina now.
There's a point to that, which just means that official, like, you know, probably calls more penalties than other officials. That's all that really comes into play with that gentleman, really.
Of course. Mike Maniscalco, play-by-play, Bally Sports. Here on the OG, you can listen to Mike on 99.9 The Fan when the game starts up. All right, we'll close on this, Mike. I do think that Antti Raanta and Peter Kochetkov, old Petey Cooch, they've done a good job. I understand why people are asking about Freddie Anderson. I don't think they need Freddie Anderson in this series against Boston if Carolina plays the way we know they're capable of playing. However, have you seen enough from Raanta or Kochetkov when he's had to come in that gives you confidence that they can still hold it down if Freddie Anderson might have some rust when he eventually does come back?
If anybody has any questions about Antti Raanta, put in game number one of this series or game number five.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He's fine. And Pyotr Kochetkov, I'm going to go with youthful ignorance where it can be bliss, guys. Remember when we didn't know what we didn't know and you just go out and play and do things?
Yeah.
That's how Pyotr Kochetkov
attacks life, let alone playing goal. And he is just, I'm trying to find the right words of it, because I don't want to say he's just in here and happy to be here. He's a hell of a goaltender, and I think he's got a bright future. But Antti Raanta, the performance that he had in game number one, and then game number five, which was for the Hurricanes, that was the got-to-have-it game. I mean, you got to win that game at home. And the save that he makes on Brad Marchand in the first period, in fact, he makes three big saves in the first period. Yeah, I don't think that there should be any concern about Antti Raanta's ability to close the door or hold the fort while the Canes are waiting for somebody who rightfully should have been one of the Vezina Trophy finalists this year for the best goaltender in the National Hockey League, but was not.
Hey, let's keep the state vibes going, right? That's like they counted us out. The disrespect, Mike! That's big NC State energy right there.
I'm just saying, guys, it's like anything, you know, in wrestling, when you got to live the gimmick, you got to make sure that it goes that way.
All right, make sure it goes well. And the team doesn't give you any crap for your ties, do they?
No, they don't. They could, but I wear very muted ties, because as a fellow of size, I generally don't wear patterned ties, because that becomes very distracting. Hmm. And as we've all seen the movie Tommy Boy, we know the camera adds a couple of 100 pounds. So.
Okay, got it. All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Mike Maniscalco, Canes play-by-play, Bally Sports here on the OG. Yeah, like apparently the team was giving Rod some crap over his last tie. He liked a tie. Rod takes his fashion very seriously. Rod Brind'Amour, not something that if you followed him as a player, you would think he would be into, but he's clearly into his tie fashion last night. So here's an exchange between Sarah Sivian of The Athletic and Rod Brind'Amour over the tie that he wore in game five.
I like the tie. Did you pick it?
Thank you. I got grief for this today. From and home. I did pick it out.
From home.
The guys.
It was a perfectly fine tie. I know I couldn't afford it. I could tell you that. I know for a fact that the tie, you're like, oh man, what, you get that from a mall kiosk? No. That tie probably cost a couple $100 if I had to guess. Ties aren't cheap, man.
Clip-on?
No. I only do clip-ons when it's a bow tie. You all right over there, Julia? You okay? Guys, I got a little inside joke here.
No, I'm laughing at Boo Boo with his clip-on ties. Of course Boo Boo would wear a clip-on tie.
Oh, yeah,
tie.
He would have.
Oh,
one.
No.
With
yeah,
his,
no,
like,
yeah.
With his,
no.
Like, T-shirt tuxedo.
Now, Rand, I know what, no, Rand's move is this. I know what Rand's move is. It's not clip-ons.
Okay.
He actually had somebody tie the tie for him.
Yes.
He just loosens it, takes it off, keeps it that way, so when it's time to put the tie back on, he doesn't have to redo it. He just tightens it up.
My closet is full of already tied ties.
That's the move, man.
There's no. I'll set the over-under on number of ties you own, Rand, at 4.
Oh, no. Actually, that is inaccurate. It's way more than that. Come on.
That are yours?
Yes, absolutely.
Not from your dad?
No, like that were bought like for me to wear in church and stuff like that. Absolutely.
Somebody bought you ties.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I probably purchased my own ties.
Yes, your own.
I don't know. Maybe 4. That might be right.
Okay.
Cheryl buying you more than 4 ties kind of still proves my point, though, doesn't it?
Fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a phase where I tried to wear ties, but then I quickly got over that. That's when I lost a bunch of weight. I could actually fit into a proper dress shirt, and I started going to sporting events trying to look like a professional. I quickly got away from that and just started wearing, you know, old ACC tournament shirts instead.
Canes win tonight. I'll wear a tie to work tomorrow.
Don't jinx it.
What? I'm just saying. Like,
don't jinx it.
Tie game.
Graham Hill, he's our Canes fan correspondent for round one. You can be the next Canes fan correspondent, because we're confident there's going to be a round two. All you have to do is call 919-410-7225 and give us your best minute-long correspondent monologue. Tell us why you think the Canes are going to win the Stanley Cup. And tell us why you think the Canes might not win the Stanley Cup. Doesn't really matter. Just give us your best take, and we'll select somebody to be our next Canes fan correspondent, like Graham Hill, who got to hang out at the Ale House at a 4-top table. We got tickets to go to a game as well, and he's been joining us throughout the first round. Graham, what's up, man?
Obvious, thank you guys for having me. Julio, Grant, hope you guys are doing well. And Obvious, to go back to what you mentioned in the last segment, don't worry, the show only sucks when you guys have me on. So just to make you feel a little bit better, it's all good.
I appreciate that, Graham. No, you elevate the Canes talk, Graham. You elevate it. All right, so it's sitting here simple. Just go, yeah, hey, Canes, don't do anything dumb tonight. But it's really not that simple in Boston. Dynamics change a little bit. What do you expect to see tonight?
it's not that simple, but Adam Gold brought up a good point in his preview article titled Canes Look to Drop the Curtain on Bruins in Game 6, which I think is a really fitting headline. He said baseball is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. Of course, that's from Joe Riggins, Durham Bulls manager, from the movie, not the current Durham Bulls manager. But same thing that I've been saying, right? You got to put the pucks on the net. You got to have traffic out in front. Jordan Staal has been doing. He's been a force to be reckoned with. And, yeah, it's not that simple. One thing that I do think is going to be key in this game tonight, sort of what I saw in Game 5, is faceoff wins. Of course, the Bruins only went on the power play three times throughout that entire game. That's step number one for the Canes, stay out of the penalty box. But a reason why the Hurricanes were able to kill off a majority of those power plays and also just play really good throughout the game is that they won the faceoffs. And going back to what Julio mentioned a couple shows ago, or actually on Tuesday's show, one reason for that is Jordan Staal facing Bergeron. I mean, when you go back, I think Julio said games one and two, Staal had over like an 88 win percentage in faceoffs, which is ridiculous. So I think it goes back to winning the faceoffs and getting the pucks out of your defensive zone, especially if the Hurricanes are having to kill off a power play tonight.
Are you, Graham, are you taking show notes?
I'm listening to everything that you can. If you missed on the Best of the OG podcast,
yeah. But are you like, are you actually, Graham, are you actually like jotting down notes from the segments?
He might just have a good memory.
Hey, if you wanna be good at this, you gotta come prepared, right? You told me that a long time ago, OBS.
I did. I also like to give the advice of just don't suck. That's usually my go-to advice as well. Sometimes I need to take my own advice. All right, so a lot has been made about the perfection line and, you know, who gets the final shift and everything else. We know this. The Canes should know this. Do you think they'll actually do the thing tonight? We won't see a repeat from game 3 and 4.
Well, I think it's going to have to come in secondary scoring. And I know you guys joke a lot about where your big guys, such as Svechnikov and Aho. So far, all that I can think of is Svechnikov scoring an empty net goal is sort of the security deposit in game one. That's what I kind of like to call those goals. And also the huge hit. But no, I think if you're going to get it done tonight, you cannot rely on Trocheck, Niederreiter, or Jarvis. Now, obviously, if those guys score goals, you know, you're not going to complain about it. But if you can just get one more, you know, special ingredient, as I like to call it, right? Sugar, spice, and everything nice. It's definitely going to favor the Canes. One guy that I would like to see make an impact is Aho, just because I know Julio kind of hates when everybody refers to it, but with everything that's so meaningful tonight, you know, it being Ati Ranta's birthday, how great of a birthday celebration would be in the locker room for him if he's able to lead them to win. And also, Aho closing in on some monumental career, not just career, but also organization, franchise records. You definitely want to see some secondary scoring from the three guys that have been kind of leading the series so far for the Canes.
Graham Hill, our Canes correspondent, brought to you by the Carolina Ale House. Ale, yeah, joining us here. That's Jovius. I'm Joe Giglio. Graham, did you watch any of the other games last night? Because they were wild. The Pens-Rangers game was crazy, and then I flipped over and watched the Panthers and Capitals, and I'm thinking, the Panthers are going to do this again. And of course they did, after being down 3-0. So I'm curious, have you been watching any of the other the games?
Yes, I have. I mean, I'm going to have to give my dad a little bit of a pushback a little bit. For some reason, he's just been obsessed over this Washington Capitals series and Alex Ovechkin. I mean, look, give credit where credit's due. Alex Ovechkin's a great player, but Dad, we don't care about Alex Ovechkin right now. We only care about the Canes. But, I mean, what a performance. There's a reason why they're called the Comeback Cats for a reason, and that's because the Panthers were able to come back from a 3-0 deficit midway through the second period and close things out for a 5-3 win. That was crazy. I honestly would not be surprised if the Panthers were actually able to squeeze out of Washington for game 6 with a win. And also, the Penguins-Rangers games. Now, one thing I will say, I think what made a major difference in that game was Sidney Crosby going out earlier in the game. But the Rangers, you know, even though they are young, you know, they have some youthfulness to them. And I think that's showing as far as, you know, just the never quit mindset you're getting out of the series. And that, like I said, that just goes for the rest of the Hurricanes fans that were a little concerned when this series went back to even at 2-2. look around the rest of the NHL league. It is neck and neck everywhere you go. So it's just been a really great playoff so far, and I just think it's going to continue to be a great NHL playoffs, and I just hope it gets better if the Hurricanes are able to close things out up in Boston tonight.
Graham Hill, he's our Canes fan correspondent. Graham, we appreciate it, man. We will talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good rest of your show.